I think you're just a miserable old git, to be honest.
Hey, I'm Paul, and welcome to Sibling Rivalry Disorder, a podcast discussing everything from Bob Ross to Rolf Harris, with an eye to finding out if people from the same family, house, school and town can actually completely agree on anything. How are you, Dibs?
I'm good. Absolutely delighted by the intro. Are we having an arty day?
Feels like an arty day.
Creativity's good.
So, before we get started, we actually have some feedback.
Hooray!
We are now live on the website, at least, and waiting for Apple to
pull its finger out.
Get us on iTunes, yeah. And we've had some feedback already, both from the people who do our theme music and from others who are listening. People are listening. That's always a good start.
Yeah, that certainly helps.
although we're a little bit out of sync, we are going for a discussion today on tradition, given that last week we did Bonfire Night and the week before we did Halloween. I thought tradition would slip in here quite nicely. Also, today we've been speaking about what we're going to do for our Christmas extravaganza. I had a little more of a controversial thought of what we should do than you did, but we will say no more about it.
You'll have to wait and see. It'll be good, whatever is decided, but we have to have an argument, this one in private, I'm afraid, about it.
Yeah, but I thought I would begin just with asking you what the word tradition means to you, because I think I am going to be the more controversial of the two of us on this subject.
Controversial on the definition?
Controversial on my thoughts of traditions.
Well, what tradition is to me is something that is done over and over again, usually at a specific time. You know, different times have different traditions.
Yeah.
Usually they come from somewhere, but not always. You know, family traditions and stuff aren't rooted in history, unless it's the family history.
yeah, on a smaller scale now.
Yeah, but yeah, that would be my definition of the word, I suppose.
Does the word tradition bring about a positive connotation to you as a general rule? Is it a positive word or?
Depends when it is. There are some traditions I really enjoy and others I think are completely pointless. So I'm kind of in the middle on that one.
As controversial as I think my view is going to be, there are obviously traditions that even I enjoy.
As we discussed in the Bonfire Night episode.
Yeah. Definitionally speaking, which was where you went immediately, I did want to bring this to your attention because I enjoyed it as I was going through what I was reading earlier on. The origin of the word tradition starts as both Latin halves, trans and dare, which is a cross give, which is fairly self-explanatory, that makes sense. And then it becomes tradere later on, which is to deliver or betray, which I found interesting. And then it was when the French and the Middle English became involved that it became much more of a traditional word, as we would look at it.
Betray probably isn't being used in the same way we would use the word betray today in that definition, though.
No, I imagine not. So, as a general rule, other people's traditions don't bother me. I'm not even slightly interested in other people's definitions, if I was going to be honest. But the idea of holding on to tradition for tradition's sake irritates me.
There's a surprise.
Oh, it's one of those things that just grates me. I am by no means a traditionalist. Don't get me wrong, things that are fun, like Bonfire Night and Halloween, I can see reasons to continue doing those things. But then there's other things. A tradition for tradition's sake just sounds to me like driving with the brake on for driving with the brake on's sake.
What?
Exactly. It sounds to me like we're deliberately holding on to the past and that just doesn't sound very progressive to me.
Well, usually it's a celebration of the past, isn't it? Or linked in some way to a celebration of the past.
I don't know. There's quite a lot of religious tradition and even things like throwing the bouquet at a wedding or having a little boy with a cushion to hold the wedding rings on. Stuff like that all just seems pointless to me.
Yes, but harmless too, most of the time.
Yeah, if I'm not at the wedding, it doesn't bother me at all.
No, that's not what I meant. And then it wouldn't have hurt you if, for instance, your wife had wanted one of those wedding traditions to happen and you didn't. Like, it wouldn't have hurt you to have
had that happen
for her benefit.
I'm not claiming tradition is evil. I'm claiming, on the most part, it's pointless at best.
I think it probably depends on your viewpoint. Like, some people are really hugely invested in traditions. They get enjoyment out of doing it, even if it causes them nothing but stress in the build-up.
Like Santa Claus.
I wouldn't know. Like, I've never been Santa Claus.
But... Oh, you were a Santa Claus expert in our pilot episode.
I was not an expert. I merely pointed out, you know, what he does for a living. But that's not... I've just lost my train of thought.
Excellent.
So, excellent, because you want a discussion.
No, just because I managed to tip you off, Keel.
Not
that's always a good
unusual
way to win an argument.
That's the only way you win an argument. It's to completely distract me from what I was trying to say in the first place, and then I just forget.
Divide and conquer. I divided and conquered your thoughts.
You're an ass.
Thank you. Let's think of some traditions then. Let's think of some turn me. Change my mind. Play devil's advocate.
So you want good ones?
Why should I like tradition?
Well, because most of the time, at least, they're rooted in good feelings, like good practices. Christmas, for instance. There are many traditions for Christmas, but one of the ones that sticks out in my mind is that Christmas is a time for family. And it's usually, in a lot of houses anyway, the only time that an entire family will sit down to dinner together and actually enjoy a meal as a family. Like, that's a sort of Christmas tradition in itself, because nobody
it
does
is.
It the rest of the year.
It is, and I enjoy that.
Mm.
But I would enjoy that equally if we did it for any other reason.
You would, but you wouldn't get all of those people around the table for any other reason in most cases.
That sounds like blaming tradition for the fact that it only happens when tradition dictates it.
No, I'm blaming that particular tradition for the fact that it happens at all. If it wasn't for that whole feeling of this is a family time and all of that kind of stuff, then it probably wouldn't happen on Christmas Day either.
I can go with that, but I also think if it only takes a bit of tradition to get everybody together like that, why don't we just have more traditions?
Ah, see, now I have turned you. You've gone from
liking
them to wanting to create more.
No, that's kind of my point, is if traditions is what's required to get everybody around the table, then the tradition is at fault in the first place.
It's not really the tradition, though, is it? It's the calendar, in most cases. I mean, that's a Christmas tradition, yes.
Don't even get me started on the calendar.
Just be quiet and listen. Stop trying to distract me again. Christmas is a time that most people get off work, and that alone makes it more likely that a family will sit down and eat together. But if Christmas itself wasn't a tradition that we celebrate every year, that time off work wouldn't happen, and therefore, again, less likely for it ever to happen.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not anti-Christmas. I'm not... Well, sometimes I'm anti-Christmas.
Grinch.
Yeah, but there's so much tradition around Christmas that I am blatantly anti of.
Like? What about mistletoe? Because that is technically a tradition, isn't it?
It's not for me. I ain't really that bothered about mistletoe.
I don't think I've ever gone out of my way to buy any and hang some in the house. I'm sure there was probably a reason to hang it in the house once upon a time that was a tradition, like it's lucky or something. But to my generation, mistletoe is simply there to give people the opportunity to kiss each other. That's it.
It tends to be a workplace party type thing.
Yeah, and, you know, I know nobody listening to this will have heard the New Year's episode yet, but when you come to it, you will soon see, if you're disappointed about not kissing anybody at Christmas, just wait until New Year and you'll get plenty, you know.
Yeah, so mistletoe is a meh, but the whole humans must consume thing, way the TV constantly blares adverts at you. And...
But that's a different thing in my eyes. That's commercialism. That's not tradition. That's
no, but it becomes
big
tradition
companies
the second
playing off of a tradition. That's not the tradition itself.
It is, but the Coca-Cola lorry visits town after town after town now because, as far as people are concerned, the holidays are coming. The holidays are coming is a tradition.
You promised
now.
You wouldn't sing.
I lied.
There's a surprise.
Yeah. So consumerism, capitalism, whatever it is, it still becomes tradition the second everybody starts doing it because it happened last time.
Yeah, but in the case of the Coke truck, nobody is doing anything. No one's got any control of whether the Coke truck goes out or not.
No, but people actually drive 20 miles to go and see.
Haven't you done this? Haven't you been one of those people that's driven to see the Coke truck?
No, I haven't seen it.
Your wife?
My wife saw it in my town.
Yeah, I thought I remembered.
Yeah.
A picture.
I didn't. Yeah. I stayed home. Traditionally, so.
Because you're a Grinch.
Because I don't drink so much brown sugar water. She got free samples.
I do. I do understand where you're coming from, in that I have said for years, and I don't even drink Coke anymore. I haven't drunk it in many, many years, but it doesn't feel like Christmas to me until I've seen the Coca-Cola advert.
You actually said that sentence.
I'm really sorry, but it's true. And there's one other thing. Like, it either has to be the Coca-Cola advert or the first time I hear the Pogues.
Yeah.
Then it's Christmas. But before then, it's just like, oh, will you just get out of my face with all this stuff? It's not happening for another 6 weeks, for crying out loud. That's the problem I have.
Yeah, but for me, it's like,
it's all the consumerism stuff.
Mid-November, and in mid-November, it's not Christmas, whether you've heard the Pogues or seen the Coca-Cola truck on telly.
Yes, but I don't watch the telly.
Congratulations.
Very often, and I don't often listen to the radio either, so
so
that might have been true once.
It's not Christmas until
it's not Christmas
until you've googled the Pogues to play it.
No, eventually I'll hear it because I'll get in the car and it'll be playing in the car or something.
In a shop.
When I'm not in the car every day. Yeah, or a shop or whatever. Like, to me, it just doesn't feel like Christmas. This is because of growing up in a pub and working in retail and having Christmas shoved down my throat long before I was ready for it. So it was like, no, it's not. It is not Christmas. It's not time yet. As far as I'm concerned, it's not Christmas until Christmas Day. You can celebrate Christmas Eve, that's great. And you obviously have to shop a little bit before that, but Christmas is Christmas Day. It's not the 6 weeks build-up that comes before it.
I do have a tradition very similar to that, but it's a personal tradition, and it revolves around when I acknowledge summer. And for me, summer has only begun once I've heard Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, Summertime.
See? It's the same thing.
I don't look at it as a tradition. I just hear that song and go, boom, it's summer. It's not like...
No, but I don't think of hearing the Pogues overly as a tradition, but it is something that happens year after year and has done for many years in my personal little sphere. So I suppose it could be considered a tradition.
We're,
I'm not really sure.
We've kind of focused all of this so far around Christmas and holidays in general. But there's also things like the unknown...
That's because the ones that have stuck the most tend to be...
We actually officially sanctioned that end of the year. The Unknown Soldier is the beginning of the November 11th Remembrance Day. That begins with a mourning at the Unknown Soldier.
Mm.
Not that I have an issue with remembering the fallen, but...
No, nor I.
But it is something that kind of, to me, loses a little bit of meaning the second you do it every year, the second it becomes an officially sanctioned thing.
I think you just have a problem with yearly things, like your own birthday.
Yeah, not a fan of that.
You said, I forget now which podcast it was in, if it's already aired or if it's to be aired, but in one of them you said you don't like celebrating your birthday because in your eyes it's not that you're a year older, you're a day older than you were yesterday. And I actually agree with that point, but that isn't what your birthday is for. Your birthday is to acknowledge and celebrate the day you were born.
Yes, that's a stupid tradition.
Why?
Well, because I didn't do anything. Buy mum a present. She did all the work.
She gets a present on her birthday and Mother's Day. She doesn't need one on your birthday as well.
She needs one on my birthday and your birthday and our brother's birthday. And she doesn't need one on her birthday. Because...
So who's she going to give a present to?
Well,
her birthday? Are we just going to pretend mum's birthday doesn't exist?
No. This just feeds straight into why this is like a controversial subject for me, because I know I'm in the minority. I know most people will not agree with me. But like, the whole calendar screwed up for a start. And a year is just the time it takes imagine something happens where the Earth ends up another 800 miles further away from the sun, and it takes an extra 4 days to revolve around the sun. What does that do to your birthday?
Absolutely nothing.
What do you mean absolutely nothing? There's now 369 days in the year.
It doesn't matter.
Are you going to celebrate your birthday from being every 364 days and do it on a different
day? I will celebrate my birthday on the 19th of August, the same as I always have, because that's the day I was born on. I'm not celebrating being a year older. I'm celebrating the fact that I was born.
You are.
I'm not.
And if you celebrate it on the 19th of August, you're not celebrating it on the right day anymore.
Answer me this. What is Christmas?
It's the...
And yes, I am being the expert at Christmas again. What is it?
It's a celebration...
Of?
Of the birth of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Who was born in...
Who
was born in the summer.
What?
And we do it in December.
What are you talking about?
Jesus Christ was born in the summer in the Bible.
Says who?
Says the Bible.
Well, then what's Christmas?
It was tacked on to December because that's when previous religions already... The Romans celebrated Saturn on December the 25th. There's 30 other religions that have all used December the 25th as their celebration of their Lord.
Yes, because... Now, this is going to be controversial, and I apologise to anybody who is religious... But the reality of the matter is, those people didn't exist, and the planets do, and that's when the equinox is. And that was a big deal to earlier man.
Yes, it was.
Man.
I'm not disagreeing with you at all. It should still be a big deal now, but that's not the point.
The point is, you're saying Jesus Christ was born in summer when he wasn't born at all, in all likelihood. And if he was, you can probably be sure that what's written in the Bible is highly exaggerated.
We're still traditionally celebrating something on a date we know to be inaccurate. In fact, most of us don't know it to be inaccurate.
Well, I've never heard of it. As far as I'm concerned, December 25th is the day that Jesus was born, in theory.
Yeah, but also December was the 10th month, hence Dec.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing about the yearly celebration of things that makes any sense to me whatsoever. Sept, Oct, Nov, Dec.
Yes, I'm well aware of what Sept means and Oct means. I get it. The calendar has changed. I'm not disputing that. But the date is still the 25th of December, regardless of whether the month has moved or not, because it's not about...
How can a month move?
Listen, it's not about... See, you've done it again. You keep interrupting me and I've forgotten what I was going to say. Oh yeah, I remember. It's not about the Earth turning on its axis or the Earth going around the sun. It's those measures are just things that happen to be there. It's about this date is significant to people. Something happened on this date, regardless of whether this date used to be 3 months, you know, earlier or whatever.
It's only significant to people because people make it significant. It's not obviously significant. Easter, the celebration of our Lord giving up his life for us and for our sins, it's a moving goalpost.
As is waiting for summer to start, judged on Jazzy Jeff, but it doesn't stop you doing it.
It doesn't go very far, and I don't try to set my calendar by it. Look, Easter, how can Easter sometimes be in March and sometimes be in April?
The problem
needs to be nailed down, or yes, nailed up.
I know, that doesn't mean me. But to be fair, there's not many of the dates that shift around like that. That one and Ash Wednesday and Shrove Tuesday, I think, move.
And somebody being born in the summer being born in the middle of winter.
Not for donkey's years. Well, that's been the 25th actually, of December for as long as anybody other than you, apparently, can remember.
The very beginning of winter, I correct myself. I don't think I'm going to turn you away from tradition.
It's not that I'm a massive follower of tradition. You know, it has its faults, and there are many of them that I completely ignore because I don't enjoy them. But where they are in the year, or whether that point has moved at some point, isn't really a big enough deal to me. Because the calendar has been the same way since I was, you know, born. It's made no difference to me, and therefore the tradition part doesn't make a difference. It doesn't change whether or not I like a tradition or not.
Okay, fair enough. Right.
What about your kid's birthday? Any one of them?
Yeah, I can celebrate that. They shouldn't, but I can.
That's ridiculous.
I did some work. Well, maybe I should celebrate 9 months before their birthday.
You didn't do a lot of work.
On one of the occasions I did.
It took a whole 10 minutes that time.
Yeah, I wasn't here. The missus just rang and said, here. I had to run.
Oh boy, are you in trouble when she hears this.
Yeah, that is probably the biggest lie I've ever told. I don't run anywhere. So, have you got anything you want to sum up with tradition?
It's just kind of there, and, you know, it's up to you if you choose to celebrate any given one or not. It's not something in my mind that has to be a strict guideline. You don't have to do it. No one's going to smite you if you don't. Like, your mum might be a bit pissed, but...
Is there any tradition that you hate?
There's lots, but I'm struggling to think of one off the top of my head because they're just buried in the crowd. I don't want to mention the same one that's going to come up again in a later podcast that I've already mentioned.
I can't believe you, like, I could name almost any tradition and I would hate it.
Well, name one then and I'll tell you if I hate it or not.
Lent.
I just don't care. Like, I've never done it. I never will. It's just... I'm not saying it's pointless. This feeds back into what we will talk about again later. It's very similar to the New Year's resolution thing. If I want to give something up, I will give it up. And I don't necessarily have to do it, you know, when it's Lent. But if it helps people stay focused, and yeah, there's no harm in it. For me, I don't hate it. I don't do it, but I don't hate it.
I don't know. Is that even a tradition?
I don't really
know. Would you describe that as a tradition?
Probably. Yeah, probably.
Some people will actually take that like an instruction.
Well, it depends if you're, you know, if you were super religious, then I dare say you would.
Is that bishops? Are they super religious because they wear that cape?
You're an idiot. If they don't have underpants on the outside, that's probably for the best.
I'm making no comment about any kind of pastor's underwear because it will lead me down a path.
Let's not go there.
I don't want to go down, and I've already used Rolf Harris's name in this episode.
Stop it. Don't ruin my childhood again.
Don't blame me, blame
you brought
Rolf.
It up.
Right, so I'm happy to call that done. Are you happy to call that done?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to agree entirely, but you didn't manage to make me hate one either, apparently, so...
Maybe next November we'll do it again.
Make it a tradition, yeah.
Right, I'm actually wiping tears away from my eyes. That is very bad.
That's very sad.
Here's one. Kind of involves some tradition.
What?
The Football World Cup.
Who put that on there?
I did. Oh. Why? Were you going to do the same?
No, I don't think so. I was just trying to figure out if I'd put it on there, why I'd put it on there.
No, I put it on, and I know exactly why I put it on. Because, like you, I don't watch television. Although I am a football fan, I don't watch television, so I don't see many games. And I had kind of... I've never been one of these England fans that is diehard, England are going to win the World Cup. I've never been that person. I'm a lot more pragmatic, maybe. I like to see them do well, but I did start feeling like we were putting the wrong team out. And I'm talking about since, like, 2000. All the way up until 2018, I've always thought that it was like a bunch of prima donnas that just didn't look like they were there to earn a cap, to earn an actual physical cap they could place on their head and be proud because it's got their three lions on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year happened. This summer happened.
Yeah, this year was a bit of a strange one, no doubt about it.
I actually fell in love with football again in a way that I could never have seen coming. It was becoming one of those things that I occasionally... I have my favourite teams, like Facebook pages and tweets I see. So I was keeping up with scores, but I wasn't doing that week in, week out religious follow everything as British people and most of the world do. Sorry, mm-hmm. America. Although they're becoming more football fans themselves.
Soccer.
Yeah, and then this year we chucked out a load of young guys that played their heart out.
Doing it the Alex Ferguson way.
Yeah, that's the way to win. Out and see how they get on. And they did very well.
See, I didn't fall in love with football again. I fell in love with England again, just a little bit. I mean the country, because as traditions go, the World Cup isn't a bad one, you know.
Cussing the crap out of your football team for not winning it is a bad one.
Exactly, and that's the only experience I've had of World Cups.
I've always hated that.
From, like, as far back as I can remember. I remember, was it 98 or 94, where Bex...
No, we weren't there in 94. Kicked that... Yeah, that was France 98. In 94, that was America, and we didn't qualify. All of England became the Republic of Ireland fans, including 2/3 of the Republic of Ireland team who were English.
Excellent.
And their manager was Jack Charlton. And yeah, so most of Britain became Ireland fans. I personally became a Romania fan that year. I don't really remember it.
I was 6.
Yeah, but...
do remember the one from when I was 10.
Yeah, that was France 98 when we played Argentina and David Beckham did the silly little kick-out thing at Diego Simeone.
I cried my eyes out when he got sent off. I remember that. Absolutely broke my heart.
We should have won that game, though, still. Even with 10 men, we were still the better team. That was the game that Michael Owen did the whole run 2/3 of the length of the pitch and bang the ball in the back of the net when he was just a kid, pretty much. That was basically the game that made Michael Owen's career.
Well.
And so it should, because if you're going to do something like that and you can do it on the greatest of stages, then get in, kid. Grab what you can afterwards.
The point is that negativity is all I've ever known. Like,
and it always
irritated the life out of me. It made me mad. I used to say to people, like, what do you expect? How do you expect them to perform when all they hear coming from back home is you're crap, you should be doing better. It's all over the papers. Like, their personal lives being delved into, you know, really irrelevant stuff. Like, it makes no difference to how they play football.
Yeah,
that's all I've ever known. But this World Cup just gone, there was a feeling in the air. It was really odd. I've never seen so many English people be so supportive and so hopeful and positive about our outlook. And I was dreading if we lost, because I thought everybody's going to revert to type. You know, the press are going to go mad again. Everybody's going to hate England again. Like, and it will just be ridiculous because they've done really, really well. And I was pleasantly surprised in the reactions of, you know, English football fans.
Yeah, like, yeah, it wasn't that there was no criticism either. It wasn't like we stopped
noticing things,
paying attention. Yeah, it was, there was criticism to be had. Almost all of our goals came from set plays. Harry Kane was on the end of stuff he wasn't even looking at.
This is fast becoming a sports show, brother.
No, it's not. But yeah, it wasn't that we weren't paying attention. It was just that we were noting things that we could improve at without going, it was his fault that...
Yeah, blaming it all on one person or the manager or whatever. But it was like somehow everybody in the country just knew before it even started
That we were going to be in the third, fourth, fifth well. Game.
Yeah, like we were actually going to do well. And the belief that I saw, I was flabbergasted. I thought, this can't be, like, have I moved and not realised, like, what the hell is going on? Because people were actually saying, yeah, we're going to win the World Cup. We're going to win the World Cup. And of course we didn't, but we got a damn sight further than we have done in a lot of years. And I honestly think that's because the players didn't have a load of negativity, like, on them all the time. Everybody was loving Gareth Southgate. I just really hope with all my heart that England, as a group of football fans, has learned something from this experience. Because this is what I've been saying all along. Like, if you're negative, of course they're not going to play very well. Like, but if you bolster them up, bit of morale, bit of a boost, like, they'll play better because they don't want to let you down.
Now I hear you say that, it's just occurred to me that there is obviously going to be way more millennials following and cheering than there were in the past, which sounds way more obvious when I say it out loud. But the attitude that most people look at millennials as having is a much more sort of lefty leaning thing, and in that comes a bit more kindness and empathy.
Maybe.
So maybe that was just, maybe that thing that we're noticing was a show of strength from the millennials.
I don't know though, because there's people I've known for donkey's years who were negative.
Yeah, but they're picking up on the vibe that the country has.
There definitely was one. It was bizarre. I was loving it.
Yeah, I was.
Absolutely loving it. Like, and apparently I developed a superstition as well when the football was on. Like, and I hate superstitions and think they're ridiculous, but I couldn't, like, because I missed about the first three quarters of the first England game, and, like, actually the first couple of games, it was about the same amount every time by chance.
Yeah.
Then I was like, well, I can't watch it now, because apparently the energy is doing something, so, like, I just can't risk it.
It was
live. I could watch the whole game afterwards.
It was so interesting to me. Like, I live in Cornwall, and Cornwall is much more of a rugby vibe than a football vibe. But there was a fate or a fair that was going on at the same time, a carnival, and I don't get out of the house much due to my job in the summer, but it was quiet enough this one particular weekend that I could go down into the high street and watch the carnival procession. That's the word, isn't it? Look at me with my traditions. And
okay.
Yeah, the amount of times I joined in with the entire street singing Vindaloo and Three Lions on a Shirt. I say singing, kind of shouting.
Yeah, nobody really properly sings those songs, do they?
My son was just as happy adorable. To join into all of that. And it is the sweetest thing I have ever seen, watching him clap his hands and
shout Vindaloo.
Yeah, it was an amazing thing to witness from a country that is normally about these things so negative. And I, like you, have previously watched England with hope and with a desperation that I can just avoid your average England fan.
Yeah, because, or the old model of your average England fan, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a wonderful thing to witness.
It was nice. It was something different.
If that becomes
a
tradition, I will be a happy man.
Yeah, and like you say about small fry, my own small fry was swept up in it, and he is super competitive, that child. It's scary.
Yeah, even on other people's behalf on quiz shows.
Yeah, he will burst into tears if the person he's rooting for on a quiz show doesn't win. Not all the time, but if it's a particularly close, like if he's watching the chase and there's only one question in it and they lose with like 3 seconds on the clock or something, that's just too close for his little heart to bear, bless him. It's absolutely adorable. But yeah, he's like super, super competitive.
And Tabby Dozy.
It's the first real interest he's taken in the football. Like where he was actually willing to sit down and watch the game. Like, I mean, of course, he's 5, so he never watched an entire game all in one go and didn't move from the chair or anything, but he would lurk around the front room.
90 minutes is a long time when you're 5.
Yeah, but he would lurk. He wouldn't leave the front room, and he would pay attention. Like, if the commentators started talking in that excited fashion like they do when someone's running up the park, he would raise his head and look at the screen. Like, he had enough awareness to be aware.
how gleeful.
Oh my God. I should shoot myself in the head for that one. But anyway.
These sentences. Didn't you mention something in our pilot episode about poor use of grammar being one of the reasons for punishment?
No, misused words, like saying...
aware twice in a sentence.
No, like using the word basically when you're not talking about something basic.
When you mean figuratively.
You know, logically, literally, you know, there's loads of them. But most of them get used badly.
Literally cooks me.
Or wrongly altogether.
Literally, figuratively cooks me.
Or your friend using hence at the end of a sentence, that geezer.
At the end of a sentence, it was 8 of the 12 words. Oh.
But, yeah,
but
that
also
was
at the
anyway.
End of the sentence.
But we've come up with a system for punishing now, haven't we?
Yes. Well, we've come up with some. There's no reason that Hannah couldn't chirp in and offer some more.
No, it can't hurt. By all means, knock yourselves out, guys. Perhaps there's a phrase I use, or Paul uses, that really irritates you because it's used countless times over the course of these, you know, less than an hour long episodes.
If it was an unedited episode, both of us would definitely be worth a punishment.
I more than I
You do more than you
But it's usually because my mouth can't keep up with my brain.
That's the best way to be.
That's why I'm a writer. Typing is just the right speed for my brain most of the time.
I would be much less happy if your mouth was faster than your brain.
Yes, that wouldn't be fun. Verbal diarrhea is never good. It has been known to happen on occasion, but not very often.
Did you have any feedback, any questions or anything you wanted to ask?
Me personally or from other people?
You mentioned something about from other people.
Let me get the email up. Are we going to read emails out or sum up or a mix of both depending on what's written in the email?
Play it by ear, whatever you reckon.
Okay, so do you want me to read the email out from the first email we got? Let's put it like that. The first feedback we got.
I was more thinking of the question we were asked.
Yes, I'm just trying to find it.
sorted.
But I'm in the wrong email account, I think.
It's siblingrivalrydisorder@gmail.com.
Go you. Okay. I'm where we need to be. We actually have two.
Okay. Well, in the same email, is this two questions?
No. Two from Squarespace forwarding things on.
Okay.
So, hang on a minute. Let me just get to the top. Okay. Who do you want to ask? Both siblings. Righty-ho. Question/suggestion. Good day to you, siblings. Samuel here. A pleasure to make your acquaintance. After listening to your recent podcast, I felt compelled to send one of these newfangled message thingies. You might perhaps have read my book, or one of the updated versions at least, but the definition of a sandwich is as follows.
Carry on, please.
Noun. An item of food consisting of two pieces of bread with a filling between them, eaten as a light meal, for example, a ham sandwich. It might also interest you to know, hot dog is as follows. Hot dog.
Wait a minute, I don't for one second believe that he knows what a hot dog is.
Hot dog. Noun. A frankfurter, especially one served in a long soft roll and topped with various condiments. The hot dog, you will see, refers to the meat rather than the whole. Therefore, I think it will be clear to you that a hot dog and a sandwich are not, in fact, the same thing. Also, it is incumbent upon me to point out that while both the bread used in foodstuffs such as cheese on toast and the base of a pizza are made from dough, the two are not, in fact, the same thing. When a pizza is cooked, of course, the dough is still dough. In the case of cheese on toast, the bread on which you place the cheese has already been cooked before you heat it for a second time. Ergo, cheese on toast and pizza are not the same thing. I have one further thing to say. Sausage! Good day to you, siblings. Signed, Mr. Johnson.
Excellent. Newfangled messagey things. thank you for your comments, Samuel.
Yes, they were most enlightening.
I still disagree with your cheese on toasty thing and meh on the hot dog thing.
Okay, there's another one here. Who do you want to ask? Paul? Question/suggestion. Hi, Paul. I know you don't really go in for this sort of thing, but I was wondering if I could ask a little advice. My name's Harry, and I really, really like this girl. Trouble is, she's my best mate's little sister. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Any ideas what I should do? Thanks in advance. Harry.
yes, I have some advice.
Maria.
Why are you asking me? I'm not entirely certain.
Well, you're the boy, aren't you? And you have a sister.
Yes. I have no problem with you dating my sister, but I'm not your best friend. No, in all seriousness, what I would do is think about the fact that you're going to have to take her back to a cupboard under the stairs. And change your mind.
Change your mind about what?
Whether it's a good idea or not. Just sort of avoid it. Don't do it. This is a new fun segment. Please keep sending in your questions.
Yeah, works for me. It's giving us a couple of giggles.
Yeah, oh man, I actually have tears rolling down my face.
Yes, I have a few.
that Samuel sounds a bit snobby to me.
Yeah, a little bit eloquent.
Yeah, let's start thinking about wrapping up, shall we? Do you want to give people their ways of contacting us?
Yep. First of all,
tell them how they can send emails to us like Samuel and Harry did.
Indeed. Then thank you again, Samuel and Harry. We're still yet to hear from Hannah. Sort your life out, love.
I'm just wondering if maybe Samuel's had an encounter with a doctor recently I'm wondering how else he managed to get his hands on the required technology.
Well, no good asking me, bruv. Anyway, this will be the first podcast in which we are able to mention our website, but if it's not mentioned in any of the episodes following, it is still there. We're just recording out of sync a little bit for the last part of the year. So the website is siblingrivalrydisorder.com. You can tweet us at siblingrivalry8. Email us at siblingrivalrydisorder@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at siblingrivalrydisorder, or you can search for us on Facebook, again, siblingrivalrydisorder. If you do go on the website to contact us, you will see an About Us tab. You will find the contact page on the bottom of that webpage. Or you can just Excellent. Email us directly.
And as Samuel and Harry, was it, found, you can either ask one, the other, or both of us a question or comment.
Yes, there's a drop-down menu. Just pick who you want and go ahead and write us a little message. Yes. We'd be glad to hear from you.
The website is simple, elegant, and...
a little bit childish.
Exactly what we require. The bits you wrote about other people were a little bit childish.
What are you talking about?
My bio.
Your bio's fantastic.
It is. I didn't change it, and I could have.
I asked you to approve it before I posted it, so yeah. It can't be that bad.
No, it did make me smirk. Anyway, it's been a pleasure podcasting with you again.
Oh, dude! We didn't do the word of the week.
Oh, no, we haven't done word of the week.
We can't not do word of the week.
Surely, having had a wordsmith as good as Samuel contacting us, this week you can have your wish, should you still require, and have hot dog.
Actually, I prefer ergo out of
his, ergo out of is a fantastic word, I will wholeheartedly agree. If you contact us this week, try and squeeze ergo into your contact too.
Yeah, why not? And Excellent. Use it as widely as possible wherever you go.
It's word of the week. You have our permission to use it as old-fashionedly and traditionally as possible.
Traditionally.
Yeah.
Speak United. Seamless.
I'm good, aren't I? Professional. Right. Speak to you later, dude.
Have fun.
Bye.
Bye.
Dedicated follower of fashion. I'm singing again.